Welcome to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. For the next hour, we'll be your local real estate news magazine. I am Mark Schneidman, your local realtor since 1988 with Coldwell Banker. Santa Barbara resident since 1977. I'm here with talent on loan from the California Department of Real Estate. As usual, my weekly multiple listing update, tracking median home price sales weekly and year-to-date and the current active inventory, all compared to last year's numbers, and that will be in the fourth segment. The fourth of four segments. Our phone number is 564-1290, or go to RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com, and listen to past programs and get real estate information. Search MLS listings throughout California. Also, of course, streaming for urologists in the office and the audience, streaming at NewsPress.com. Joining me today is Dave Gustafson, who is the managing director of the Santa Barbara Redevelopment Agency. That's close enough.
That will work. Thank you, Mark.
Who, by the way, you were correct. We did have you scheduled for May 15th. I don't know why I... Someone else might show up thinking they're today's guest.
So I see. Well, I'll be happy to share the mic with you.
we might have a little bit of a conflict. And we do have actually a show in the can that I did with Dave about a year ago, 2005, that we are using in case I get sick or something, and I forgot about that. So it might be a little redundant. We might hear from Dave again shortly.
The opportunity to hear myself again on the radio, that'd be great.
Exactly. Of course, rebroadcasting Monday night at 9 o'clock and Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock, plus podcast for eternity. On the web. I'm drawing my my trust and will, and I was just going to dedicate money there, and so it'll just go on, I think, for, I don't know, 50 years or something.
Feels a little like immortality.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you.
We embalm you right here on the program. So what else did we... So I looked up, the Santa Barbara Redevelopment Agency, so I decided to look up the word redevelop in Webster's, and it said to develop something again. So is that like a slight? Are you saying to the people who developed downtown Santa Barbara that they didn't do it right the first time? So I'm coming along, and I'm going to redevelop it.
We're going to get it right this time. Huh?
Are you saying? What the hell are you saying?
Well, really, you know, redevelopment really is about the built environment, you know, what kind of development occurred. And all development has a life and a time, and... You know, we used to, my old boss in the industry used to say, in Blythe there was hope because there's always a chance for additional professional work in redevelopment. But that's really what it's about. As circumstances change and the built environment isn't what it used to be, it's to move in and correct that problem, which in redevelopment parlance is typically called blight, and to refresh the environment and make it economically viable again.
Well, we have a lot of projects going on for our local area to discuss the project updates for the redevelopment agency that Dave shared with me, and a lot of local issues, Granada Theater, Granada Garage, Chapala Street restoration, the downtown public bathrooms, De La Guerra, Plaza De La Guerra, West Beach, all kinds of different projects. But since you mentioned, you kind of triggered, blight.
Mm-hmm.
It 2 weeks ago we had a client of mine on the program. We discussed eminent domain, and that's that blight. You know, that just triggered it.
Exactly.
Become blight becomes exactly, guess what? Exactly. Eminent domain. Can you describe eminent domain and blight and how an agency or the government kind of works? And
sure, does. I think a little bit. That's certainly the topic in vogue right now, and there's a lot of proposed legislation aimed at dealing with the issue of eminent domain, all of that coming out of what a lot of people see as a landmark Supreme Court case, Kelo versus New London in New London, Connecticut. It's really about whether a city or a county or a public agency of some kind exercises the right to take property, to take private property. And the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution allows that for the purpose of public use. and the debate around Kelo versus New London is what constitutes public use. That decision actually by the Supreme Court didn't really break new ground. It just affirmed the existing powers of a public institution to take property for public use, and the conversation was around what constitutes public use.
Did it help define public use?
It actually said that the definition of public use is really up to the state and to the local jurisdictions. And it looked at things like whether there was an economic development plan filed by New London and whether the taking of public private property was consistent with that plan. I think a distinction between what that case was about in California for redevelopment agencies is that we are already fairly constrained in how we can use eminent domain. Eminent domain is supposed to be used to fight that word you used before, blight, and that is considered to be a public purpose. It's more constrained than what the Constitution would allow in the Fifth Amendment.
In California.
And, you know, I would also have to say that there's a lot of excitement out of this Supreme Court case, which in effect just said the law is the law and you've been following the law. It didn't make any changes to the law. But it's created this public outcry and a lot of politicians who want to pass legislation constraining what they see as this threat of the government taking private property. I would have to say that in California with redevelopment agencies, it's not all that typical that eminent domain is used to take properties. More often, there are successful negotiations to acquire properties. And in the Santa Barbara redevelopment project area specifically, we've used eminent domain very cautiously and very infrequently.
Well said. So this decision reaffirmed public use. And I guess what raised the concern of many states, perhaps not California, because you say we're a little tougher or a little more defined, mm-hmm. many states have legislation pending right now, at least five or six, I think, to try to narrow that definition to become more like California?
Well, I think there's federal legislation pending. There's various states with legislation pending. And even there's a lot of legislation in Sacramento to even further constrain California's rules regarding eminent domain.
Public good. It's kind of tough because when you have planners and you have an area like Chapala, like the construction right now going down in Chapala, mm-hmm. lost a lot of little local businesses and mm-hmm. little shops. And mm-hmm. I don't know, were there any holdouts? Were there any problems there? Was any eminent domain used on those blocks?
No, I think most of the activity you're thinking about on Chapala, Mark, is private activity, private developers who don't have the power of eminent domain buying those properties and redeveloping it, and in some cases displacing businesses that had been there. There was no involvement in any of those projects by the redevelopment agency and no use of eminent domain.
Okay, and that's down on the 700 block?
There are several. There's
going on
Chapala 1 at the 400 block at Gutierrez. There's Paseo de Chapala, which I think is on the 500 block. There's another one going on in the 700 block. That's a area of a lot of activity right now, the Chapala corridor.
So okay.
Quite a few of them.
So on your funding, you do have some Chapala Street improvements funded in here at $835,000, but that's just
we do,
street
you know,
improvements.
We adopted a streetscape guideline within the last year or so to treat the improvements to Chapala that would incrementally happen as these private projects came along. And we leave it to the developers of those private projects to improve the streets according to these guidelines that we set out so it would be uniform. There were a few places where development was going to occur and the private property owner didn't have the obligation to develop part of the street, so the agency's stepping in and making some of those intersection improvements.
Yeah.
That's what that one is.
Yeah. One quote, I think we talked about this last year, and I'll just maybe finish this segment with this, and I'm anxious to get to a lot of the local projects that we will talk about here.
Good.
In sunny southern Santa Barbara County, Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, it's about 15 minutes past the hour. There was last year at this time, there was a Santa Barbara News Press editorial that they're saying that the officials, out at least out there, don't want to do that because it won't allow them to get done what they want mm-hmm. to get done maybe first, and the long-range comprehensive plan might preclude some of their plans.
You know, I I think Santa Barbara's probably got more long-range plans than any place I've ever encountered professionally, and I think that we spend a lot of our time developing those long-range plans and then figuring out how we're complying with those long-range plans. So it's hard for me to picture it as a question as to whether we wouldn't want those plans so we could do other things.
I mean, okay,
I think we're clearly community from its inception has been clearly guided by long-range plans, and the participation and commitment by the local citizens to developing those plans is really key to our culture, and I can't see us not wanting to do that.
Do you think the citizens out there in Nolita and the groups like Coalition for Sensible Planning and the one out in Montecito who are calling for this conference, do you think that they have a point? And do you think that maybe they're dropping? I mean, I don't know. You don't want to get into a city of Santa Barbara knocking the county. Yeah. But is that a little fault that they have out there?
Well, I guess I would say it's really a neighborhood or community and issue specific. I mean, lots of times when you say there isn't a long-range plan, perhaps there is, and it's maybe not satisfying some of the folks that don't feel there is a long-range plan.
Or it's not updated, I think their claim is right now.
There's always that issue. In fact, we're right now in the middle of our next long-range general plan effort, what we call Santa Barbara 2030, which will take us out until 2030 to develop our general plan. Now, obviously, between now and when we adopt the plan in 2010 that will take us out to 2030, activity has to go on and development has to occur. So if these plans have a life, they're by their very nature going to get somewhat dated as you proceed, and you can't just stop dealing with land development. What you do need to be sure that the kind of approvals you make is informed by that sort of a basis of understanding and information that's in the plan that the citizens wanted when they participated in adopting it.
Well, speaking of life, you are in the sunset of your life. Your development agency is expiring. You know, most people's birth certificates don't
come with— I'm glad you didn't put that the other way around.
Most people's birth certificate don't come with an expiration date, but the redevelopment agency is set to expire 2015. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about what's going to happen after that and what you've been doing about the many projects here in town. But just as a final comment on the county and that Nolita district, I know that if yard signs are any indication who's going to win the second district supervisor race, it's going to be Joe Guzzardi. I mean, he's out there I don't know what that means, but if yard signs are an indication of people that's, but I think when the money starts being spent on radio and TV ads, I know he doesn't have the budget, but that's my little comment. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, our phone number 564-1290. We'll come back with Dave Gustafson, the Santa Barbara Redevelopment Agency czar, and we'll talk a little bit about local projects. It's coming up on 20 minutes past the hour.